What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Ready?
And we are back for episode 87. I'm having a good week.
Yeah?
A pretty good week. I got to watch a ton of films that I wanted to watch. I got to catch up on some anime that I'd been missing. My Crunchyroll subscription did go out right in the middle of me catching up on One Piece, and I feel a way about that. And granted, this is my fault because I picked, I usually get them in 3 month like span, so I don't have to think about it, but they don't have like a year option. Mm-hmm. And so I get like the cards, like the gift cards or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, or rather they have a year option, but you have to put in, from what I saw, you either have to buy a bunch of cards or put in your credit card. And I didn't want to do that because, and I spoke about that. We had this whole issue with them not being able to replace my card when it expired. And so I've been getting the gift cards and just getting like 3 months or 6 months or whatever. And so not thinking about it needing to be renewed, I'm like, oh, right. The new episode of One Piece came out. I want to see, you know, Luffy smack Kaido. And yeah, it was like commercials. I'm like, commercials? Like Soulja Boy talking about Drake. Commercials?
Yeah, no. What? Nobody wants that. No.
No one wants that. So I was like, screw this app. And I went to another app. So I started watching stuff on Shudder and like just had a good time just catching up. My comfort stuff, either being old shows or, you know, old films, horror films, stuff like that, where I'm like, oh, this is cool. This puts me in a nice space mentally. Because even though my week has been pretty decent, it's also been, I guess life is just stressful now for whatever reason, you know, COVID and a bunch of other things happening. And so while this week wasn't as bad as it could have been, having those comfort things, you know, available was definitely helpful. So I was able to kind of rock that a little bit. And I'm also on a new workout plan that has been mad. I don't want to say intense. It's not like Taibo, but I'm tired. I'll be tired, right? And so it's like tired mentally and tired physically. We also had the E3 stuff. It's not E3 because E3's not here, but the season of E3 where they're announcing games left and right. And so I didn't really do a lot of coverage, but I did talk about it, stayed up to watch a bunch of stuff. And so it's like all this information in my head. I'm also sending out pitches to different places to kind of, you know, land some new gigs and trying to wrestle with content providers where I'm trying to get screeners to watch all these upcoming films that are being announced and stuff like that. And people aren't getting back to me, which is weird because they usually, I've never had a problem. And it wasn't like I wrote like a really bad review and like, you know, it's like trashing a film or something. So I don't know if they're just busy because this is a busy time right now or if it's me. So just going through a bunch of different things, and to get out of that funk, I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch A Different World, or I'm going to watch whatever. And then I felt better. So yeah, this week has been going pretty well so far. Mm-hmm. In the midst of that, I should say. What about yourself?
I think that my week has been I don't know. I mean, kind of cruddy, but who cares? I'm a human having a human experience. It is what it is. Not every week is going to be lollipops and rainbows.
That is extremely real. Like that is being human and having a human experience.
Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. See, I had to get deep on y'all.
That was moment of silence there.
Can we have a moment of silence for Teresa's human experience?
Right?
But yeah, I haven't caught up on a lot of things on TV. Like I am a Peaky Blinders fan. They finally released the last season, and I was gonna watch. Yeah, last Friday, I was gonna, but I just didn't, and I hadn't been feeling well, and you know, just it wasn't working out for me. I was like, nah, I can't. I was like, oh, I have a headache, and I'm trying to turn on the TV, and then I turn it on, and then I just pretend it's not on. So I didn't catch up on that, but I have been like kind of, when I get some time, just like kind of going through like YouTube, and I have this tendency to see something on YouTube and get really into it. Like I get really, really, really into it. So of course, shout out Murad Murali. I've been watching his little snippets on Love Island because, you know, I've told you before, like I like Love Island, but I told myself after watching last season that I don't know if I'm going to continue watching because I just feel like the producers of Love Island UK are very racist and they don't take the time to equally, they don't give equalness, equal opportunities to women of color. And it's not even men of color. It's women. It is black women. So they just honestly dog black women. And I just don't like it. I have no time for it. Right. And so I don't like supporting them as much, but apparently I'm supposed to be watching this season because apparently they did a better job on casting. And apparently there are men now who like black women on the show instead of black women just being there to tick a what do you like call that?
Box.
And then, you know, get sent home eventually because clearly nobody on the show was there for them. They're on there for the Blonde Brigade. So I haven't started watching that yet. But that's like the big talk, like on the interwebs, like on the YouTube. But funny enough, I've been getting into watching these celebrity plastic surgery videos. So,
oh, wow.
Yes, it's just entertaining. So they just get into something. And so like, you know, there's some, this woman, I've been watching her, Lori Hill, and then there's a doctor, I forgot the doctor's name, but like she has all these pictures of famous people, she does all this research. And then she's like, this is the plastic surgery that this person probably had. And I live for it. I love it. I love it because she goes all the way back to when the person was like, you know, 17, and then what they look like now. Like she did Angelina Jolie, and then she had all the way to, I was like, you know what? And here we go. This is what I have to say this to everybody. You are not ugly. You are just poor. That's it. You're not ugly. You're just poor. Because these people out here who were just like, are so beautiful, all these stars and famous people, they've had multiple surgeries, multiple. These are not people who, you know, look like that, the reality TV stars with blown up lips and 17 nose jobs and stuff. No, like, you know, actors get paid for their faces. And so they're not trying to ruin them all the time.
Or their bodies, mm-hmm. you know, they being able to, mm-hmm. especially like someone, let's say Chris Hemsworth, like being mm-hmm. able to work out and have like personal trainers and mm-hmm. dietitians and all that stuff that we can't afford to look mm-hmm. like freaking He-Man for a role.
No.
Yeah, you can't aspire to do that. You can't. That's just not healthy. Mm-hmm. And that's not healthy even what they do.
Yeah.
But a lot of surgeries is not good.
It's not even, I don't mind. I think that if you want to get plastic surgery and it makes you look better, then get as many as necessary to make you be the most beautiful version of you. And that's fine. I have no issues against plastic. I love plastic surgery. I think it's so interesting. Interesting in when it goes wrong too. But I don't want it to go wrong. I don't want it to go wrong on anybody. That's not cool. But when it does go wrong, it's like, okay, wow. Why? Anyway, but that's my science background that I like so much, but that's not all. It's really just, I think one of the reasons why I'm so into it is because these individuals get a lot of surgery that is not like you can't really tell, you know? And then of course, if they're a lot older, they've been doing this for a long time and you don't even remember because it changes every so often. You don't really remember what they used to look like. And I think that Angelina Jolie is a really good example. Also, Amber Heard is a really good example. And I literally watched that video because I was like, I watching the trial and I'm like, why does she look like this? Like, what is wrong with her face? She doesn't look the same. And you know, people were saying, oh, 6 years has been really bad on her. You know, people were saying, oh, she's aged. And I'm like, that's not aging. And then come to find out, well, it's because she had some plastic surgery that, you know. So like, it's not like, I'm not sitting here trying to call anybody out for surgery, because like I said, I actually am totally fine with it. If your nose bothers you and you go to a really great surgeon and they fix your nose, and you, not only are you confident, but the outside world is looking at you like you're beautiful. Everybody should be happy about that, because you look amazing. The only thing that is hard about this industry is that people are not transparent. It would actually be nice. And I know nobody needs to share nobody is required to share their personal things, but when your image influences so many other people, it would be nice if you were transparent, because.
Well, that makes sense.
It's important. You are influencing so many people, men and women alike, but you're influencing so many people on a dream that is not attainable. Even when, you know, Khloe Kardashian started Revenge Body, it was like, and half of us were sitting here like, but you got plastic surgery. Right. Like, I know you work out and everything now, but you got like you got BBLs, you got your whole face did. Like, and so it's just very, very important. You know, the Kardashians always lie about their surgeries. They go on television and they're like, oh, I didn't do anything. And it's like, wow. You know that there are millions of women who have literally changed their bodies because you guys started this whole idea that everybody should look like this. Because it wasn't cool when Black women just looked like that. It wasn't cool when were just walking around living our Black lives, walking around with our, you know, smaller waists and big hips and big butts, and everybody was making fun of us for our big lips. But then it became cool when, you know, Kim Kardashian decided to get 7 BBLs, and then everybody wants to go and do the same thing. These people influence an entire generation of people. And so it's very important for young people watching television or anything like that, when they see these individuals who are so beautiful, that, and then they look at themselves and feel ugly. They themselves are like, I look terrible.
I think that's part, and that's, I think that's why I said, that is well, in a sense that I don't agree with it, because it's usually not a, and I'm saying this from like outside looking in, because I haven't had plastic surgery and don't really know people who do, but it's one of those things where like my perception of beauty is based on what is given to me media wise. And because of that, I am altering something that is actually beautiful already to look like Kim Kardashian or to look like whoever, to the point where black women are getting like butt implants and stuff like that because it's like it's not enough, but it's like you're black, like you know what I mean, like this is not you know, I remember there was a recent interview with Nicki Minaj talking about when she got before she got her butt done, that like Lil Wayne and Drake, they made jokes or whatever, but it was kind of like, oh, you're not as, you know, voluptuous as this person, or you're not as whatever as this person. And she felt like she needed to go do that. And granted, that it has helped her career, not even gonna hold
yeah
it, like,
did.
It has, but her original feelings about it was very different, and it's not, I don't want to say it's not something she's proud of, I don't think she has regret, but she feels a way. She herself expressed that she felt a way. So like, the idea that like you're doing this and you make yourself beautiful, but the standard is not your standard, is like worldly. And we know the world does not like us. Like, they like to take apart us.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe speaking from like a black person, maybe a white person might be cool, whatever. But like from a black perspective, is like certain attributes they don't like from us. They just like to take. And so when we have them naturally, we have to make our noses smaller. You know, we can look at Little Kim's plastic surgery and...
Had a issue. There's even more details into her getting what like happened. I learned some things about her when I was watching those videos. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that like I didn't necessarily know that was going on with her, into why she ended up continuing surgery. And then like I think the doctor ruined her nose. And like once the tissue is taken from your nose, it can't really be replaced. It has to be replaced from other parts of your body. And you don't necessarily have enough pieces all over your body to fix your nose. They have to take, you know, rib cartilage. You know, there's a lot going on to go on. Like there's a lot that happens. But like for me, the biggest thing is when you are a public figure and you influence a lot of people, like you could run a beauty brand, all these kind of things, you know, you're influencing a lot of people and you're basically promoting an unattainable thing for most people. Most people will never have what you have. Like most people will never be able to afford a BBL. Most people will never be able to afford multiple surgery, Angelina's surgery. I'm being honest, like the way Angelina looked when she was young versus the way she looked like when she married Brad Pitt, like that is a total, like, I mean, she has facial implants and everything because she used to have a round face and now she has a square face. And I'm just saying, like, it really, really worked well for her. There are so many other people the same way. Like they had small things done, you know, some chin implants, cheek implants and stuff, and it made them look amazing. But the thing is, it's like, if somebody ever asks, like if young people ask, like I would appreciate if they would be transparent so that young people understand that to look like that, it's not like, first of all, they're not born this way. Okay. Right. You know, it's like, no, you weren't born this goddess. Bella Hadid, my goodness, she is one of the most beautiful people out there in existence. But it's important to understand because I did not remember I have much more to say on that, but I won't because that'll just waste time. But I look at Bella Hadid and she's such a gorgeous person. It's just such a gorgeous individual. And there are so many young people who are like looking at her and want to be like her and be like, and saying, oh, I wish I was beautiful like her. That girl had like massive amounts of surgery done. And right. So you're not ever going to look like that because she was never going to look like that. She only looks like that because she spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on it. And right. So I think it's important for people who have a lot of pull with especially young people to be transparent so that young people understand, A, they weren't born, the famous people weren't born that way, okay? And then B, to look like that is it's unrealistic. And you're beautiful in your own right. If someday you make enough money and you want to do what you want to do, fine. It's just the transparency so people can understand it. Because you shouldn't, you know, young kids shouldn't be looking in the mirror thinking they're ugly because they see somebody as beautiful as Bella and she's all over everything. But even right. Bella herself didn't look like that until she had surgery. So please be transparent so people understand that they are not ugly. They're humans having a human experience. And you, my friend, are an alien that's rich. Okay, that's it. You are part robot.
Nah, that makes sense.
But yeah, so that's what I've been doing. That was my week. And I had a lot of fun. Look, when life is bad and you want to laugh, and I'm not laughing at people, but I'm like, it's just, I'm the type of person who loves information. And so it's always nice when there's a naruhodo moment, you know, like aha. And so me going down the rabbit hole of that was so much fun. You should do it.
I don't know. See, that's how you get stuck, man. You get stuck in that stuff, especially with, yeah, like especially with anything on YouTube, honestly.
Yeah,
like, YouTube is like, yeah, that. You'll be stuck. I do have to make a correction. There is a 12-month subscription to Crunchyroll via the Crunchyroll website. If you go through the Crunchyroll website, you can actually get a digital gift card that way. And then that way you don't have to worry about, it's similar to like if you're shopping for, let's say you're for Twitch, because I get like Twitch gift cards or whatever. And if you go to Amazon, they start off at $25. So if you want to do like a $10 gift card, you can't buy it from there. So that's kind of what I meant by not the 12 months. I didn't want people to like jump in the mentions and be like, hey, you can't, there is 12. I know if you go to Crunchyroll's website, there is a 12-month option. Just wanted to clarify how I was getting my gift cards versus Crunchyroll. Cool. Anywho.
Let me ask you this about the Crunchyroll. So I know that they have the monthly.
Mm-hmm.
So is it cheaper to buy the gift cards and do it that way? Like, what's the best financial option?
For me, I want to say it was the monthly, because having it that way is like, you don't have to necessarily worry about something that's automatically drafted from you. Like, mm-hmm. like if you're like, you know what, I don't have the money this month or whatever, having it in a gift card form, because your card isn't actually on the site, you don't get anything taken from you if it slips your mind. You know what I'm saying? And for someone who bounces around these different apps, it helps me to like keep that in the back of my mind.
Okay.
And that's why I don't remember it. Like my HBO one, I remember like on, you know, 2 days from now, I need to cancel. You know what I'm saying? If I'm not going to keep it. Whereas Crunchyroll, it was like, oh, 3 months, boom. I'm not thinking about it. It's also cheaper if you get a bundle of months versus going month to month. They actually give you a discount for that. So yeah, you actually save money by doing that. But if you don't want it to be a constant ongoing thing, definitely do the gift cards. I think it's better.
Okay.
Because there are lulls. There's times where it's like, ah, there's nothing on here I want to watch.
Yeah, yeah. I can understand that.
And that goes with like just anything. I think right now, a lot of the apps, I don't even have my card information. I do it through the Google Pay or like through my phone. That way I don't have to worry about, because it's a lot of the, like Netflix does, you know, and we're going to talk about Netflix in more depth because they're doing some interesting things. But Netflix has set it up or has been in the business long enough to that you don't have these issues that you have with these other apps. I think HBO and Disney Plus are kind of gotten to the point where they're just good now versus great. They're good. But like there's some apps, like I was having trouble with Shudder not being able to like renew. And you know it's bad when you can't buy something. Like when the app won't let you actually subscribe, there's a problem because they want your money. You know what I'm saying? So like, or like not being able to get in touch with anybody from customer care. You know, films like right now on Shudder, I'm having an issue, not all films, but some films where the aspect ratio is wrong and it doesn't, like when you go into Netflix, you can do this thing where like you can pinch the zoom and like, if the ratio is too big for your phone, like it's, you're cutting off the top of someone's head, you can make it smaller. It won't be like correct in terms of how it's originally viewed, but you can see the entire screen. You're not going to miss any, subtitles or anything like that. Whereas Shudder, you don't have that, but it's not even just the top and bottom in terms of like a widescreen thing. It's like move to the right to just a little bit. So like things on the right side of the screen are cut off in certain films. And I'm like, what? Like, especially someone who's like really like into the classic films and, you know, if you have your own collection of certain things and you see these films, you're like, oh, I want to watch the digital version because I don't want to pull out the DVD or the VHS if you have those. And you're like, dang, half of the freaking film is missing. You know what I'm saying? So like, I think having these cards and being able to work this way allows you to go, you know what, I'm not going to subscribe to you right now until you get your stuff together. And then I don't have to worry about like not being able to unsubscribe because you have like a unorthodox UI or you just make it difficult on purpose. So people just forget after a while, you know, all those games or whatever. So like, I just do that. And that's not a knock on any particular one in terms of being shady. It's just that they're not up to snuff to Netflix, honestly, to be honest.
Being honest.
Yeah, just being honest, you know. Speaking of honesty, Woody Harrelson, this is going to be our first topic, and this wasn't going to be our first topic, but I saw it on my way in terms of like Googling stuff, and I saw that they're making a new White Man Can't Jump film. It's going to be a remake, and Jack Harlow is going to be playing Woody Harrelson's character from the film, and is being done by, or is being directed by the Blackish creator, Kenyon Barris. And I don't really feel a way about the film at all. I just one comment that Woody Harrelson made that made me feel a way. He said that the upcoming film is going to be better than the original 1992 film. That made me feel a way. I'm like, fam, you have yourself, Wesley Snipes, and Rosie freaking Perez. Like, no.
Right.
No. And I know Cardi B is not a good replacement. I'm not saying she's going to be in the film, but no. Okay.
Was just that ever a thing? Was that a thought?
No, that was a thought in my head. Okay. Like, because I'm thinking, like, if Jack Harlow is going to be whoever, then who would take up Wesley Snipes' place and Rosie's place? And I was like, I don't know. She has been in a film before. She's been in the Fast and Furious film. And Jack Harlow is a rapper and he's going to be in the film. So I'm thinking maybe they're going to pull from rappers. They're going to pull from other, from TV. And I'm like, the people who I could possibly think of, and Cardi B, I love Cardi B, but she's just one person that pops in my head. I'm like, no, there's a bunch of people that I could kind of see being placed, but I don't think they would be better. I think they would be good. They would be interesting, fun even, but better? Like, that film was very much a 92 film. Like, it's a 90-ish film. And a newer, modern version might be interesting.
Yeah.
And it might be a really good film, to be honest with you. But better than the original? Nah.
Nothing can be better than the original. I mean, it was just, the original is so much fun. It really is. You really, you have Woody Harrelson. I don't know why it's his dream. He wants to do this.
I mean,
oh my god! I mean, I really feel for him. I feel for Woody in this movie. I really do. I enjoy this trifecta. I love Rosie Perez. I love the part where she's yelling and she's like, "How many people have all this useless information in their heads?" Like, it's just so, everything was just so perfect, and I love that the characterization of Rosie. I just love how she's like this genius. She's, and she feels, you know, I mean, she's in a situation and she's this genius. Jeopardy's gonna call, they're gonna call. Like, and I just love the fact that she goes on Jeopardy and she's a beast, and it's just so awesome. And then
it is,
I don't know. I love that movie. It's a lot of fun. You're right. It is a 90s movie. 90s movies have a certain vibe. So I don't know if it would be better. Him saying, you know, it's going to be better. I just feel like maybe the premise has to change, because this really worked in the whole conversation. You know, saying white man can't jump, that is really a 90s thing to say. That's not really anything anybody would say right now, because it doesn't mean much at all. And so I don't know if it, I don't know. But if he says it's going to be better because maybe it's a different story.
I'm wondering. And because even, you know, Rosie was talking about how, the chemistry between the characters or the actors was really, you know, great. And the fact that they've so great that they've remained friends throughout the years, you know, and she even says it, like, real friends, they call each other and everything.
Yeah.
And so she was like, you know, she's supportive of the film, and, but at the same time, she wants to make sure that these new characters or, you know, actors or whatever have the same type of chemistry. She's like, you're going to have that. And, you know, it's all in the casting, like who you put up in there. And so, you know, right now they have Teyana Taylor, which she's dope. So I don't really have a problem with her, like, being in the film at all. And Laura Harrier from Black Klansman is going to be in it as well. I don't know what their characters are going to be, but they're great. So I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, in terms of making this, like, you know what, you know, because that's a big statement, and not to say that White Man Can't Jump was, like, critically acclaimed or anything. I'm just saying, for what it was, that's like saying you're gonna make a better juice today. Like,
you can't do that.
Like,
yeah,
how, you know what I'm saying? Like, it'll be different, and it could be good, it could be great, it won't be that, you know what I mean? Like, it'll be something different, and which I think is what you would want. You're doing a remake. You want to make something that's unique to it. And maybe you like the idea, you know, the premise a little bit. And so you're like, I want to make a film, you know, in my version of that particular type of film. Dope. But to make a remake and then have the same, even the same plot line, same type of characters and everything, and then try to be better, that's not going to flow. I don't think that's going to work out. I think it's going to be too many. People are going to compare you left and right. That, like you said, the title itself is almost a no-no, considering that people don't talk that way anymore.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't even feel like even like the young people now, maybe who it would target. I'm saying young people because like we're in our late 30s and these right. characters, I forgot how old they were, but were they their late 20s?
I believe so, yeah.
Not early 30s, but they weren't as the characters they were playing weren't as old as we are right now. So I feel as though the target audience, of course, part of the target is nostalgia, so older people definitely, but if you're using younger actors to play, then those actors are going to be talking to the younger crowd, speaking to the younger right. crowd. And I just don't feel like the people who are young, right. I don't know if it means anything. You know what I mean? I don't feel right. like that's vernacular.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's odd. And it's an odd film to remake, to be honest. Is. It's just not something I would, you know, if I wanted to remake a film, I would not pick this one. One, because it did what it was supposed to do. And yeah. you have a great cast that you can't replicate like that.
Yeah.
But then also it's, yeah, like, why would you? It's one of those classics that is culturally held at a high standard.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, Juice, Baps, Boys in the Hood. Like, you don't remake those.
New Jack City.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Like, can you imagine someone thinking that they would be okay? Like, no. We would be okay with them making a New Jack City. the closest I could come to was like a New Jack City series. I'm like, you know what? I might almost yeah. possibly see that working.
Kind of like Godfather Part 1, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
That's not a remake, but.
But then, you know, to be fair, they also did the new Fresh Prince show, which I haven't seen yet. Mm-hmm. But I know it's very polarizing. Like, people either love it or hate it. And at the very least I can say is that, and we were talking about this off air, is that it's unique in and of itself. It still has the same characters, but the world is definitely different. It's definitely modern, and it's serious versus, you know, comedic.
Yeah.
And so they were trying something different. So like maybe a TV show, but certain films, you know, it's just something you don't, I don't know, but who knows? I wish them the best. I'm going to check it out because I want to yeah. see if it's good. You know, whenever it comes out, I'll be keeping my eye on it. But yeah, I just, and no offense to Jack Harlow, I just never seen him act anywhere. You know what I mean?
I don't know, like, about him.
I like, I've heard he's like, how do I say this nicely? Like a, nah. Let me chill. I'm gonna be cool. He seems decent. He seems decent, and I'm not a huge fan of his music. He does the song rappy stuff, similar to Drake. And that's as much as I, yeah, yep. Moving on, the second thing we wanted to talk about was, I don't want to say the death of Internet Explorer, but essentially the death of Internet Explorer, and which would come to, you know, as a surprise to some people because they thought it was already dead. I heard someone right. On Twitter was like, you know, they'll miss using Internet Explorer to only download other browsers.
Like, just the fact.
The disrespect. The
it was so disrespectful. We used to use Internet Explorer to download Firefox all the time. You had to get your Firefox updates. When Chrome came out, it was like, oh, cool. Okay, sure. And everybody knows that on your regular computer, Internet Explorer was your default. You always had to fight to change your default browser.
Yeah, like no one was trying to hold down. And outside of new browsers, maybe things didn't work because Internet Explorer was known and used, you know, widely used. So early, you know, the websites, you know, whether it was like the, you know, JavaScript or whatever that was happening, Flash, like it was like, oh, it worked in Internet Explorer, but it might not work here. But once Chrome and Mozilla was able to get things working, it was like, I am moving to them. Like, I'm not using this anymore. But like you said, it's on just about every computer, or in the more recent years replaced by Microsoft Edge. For those who don't know, not at all. I don't really use it. And one of the big things, reasons I didn't use it was because when it first came out, it was a lot of talk about, you know, people getting their information hacked. Like, it wasn't as secure, which new things usually aren't as secure unless you work with Apple. You know, Apple, they hold you down on security front, you know. But beyond that, I was like, eh, I'm good. I'm sticking with Chrome. And even though Chrome has its own issues, right? But As of June 15th, Microsoft announced that they are retiring Internet Explorer in a confusing manner, because they didn't, you had to kind of go to their FAQs to kind of figure out what exactly they meant by retiring. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Essentially, what they're saying is that there are not going to be any more Internet Explorer on newer OSs. It's going to be replaced by Microsoft Edge. No more support in that regard. However, if you do have, was it Microsoft's 8 or 7 or Windows 8 or 7, then they will continue to update or support it up until a point. I think one of them is like January of next year. And then, you know, sometime after that, then the Windows 8 will probably go down. But it's not in a system.
Windows 8 is actually going down first. Windows 8.1 is going to go down January 10th of 2023. And Windows 7 IE is going to stop working on January 15th. So it's just 5 days. But it's just interesting that 8.1 they're going to end support for 5 days prior to.
Well, of course, because no one liked that. No one like that shit. Like, this, look, Windows has this thing, or Microsoft has this thing where, like, one Windows, you know, OS is good, the next one is bad. The next one is good, the next one. So, like, yeah, 8, people weren't feeling that. They weren't really feeling it. But, yeah, and essentially what that means is that if you have it on your computer, you have a 7, you're good. You just won't get any new features, any new, you know, updates. You won't get any... You know, if something goes wrong and you have to replace your computer, you're not going to be able to. You got to get the new stuff at that point. They are retiring Internet Explorer, which is interesting in and of itself, not just because people thought it was dead anyways, but because it's always been around. It's been around for like 27 years.
Yeah.
And outside of, like, you know, way back in the day, it's just like a thing that you just know about, or you just hear. Like, like you could say Microsoft Edge, and a lot of people won't know what that is.
They don't. And I don't understand why they even did. It should have just been like IE2. Like, even the name, you know, because I mean, I think that they were just trying to be edgy and they, you know, called it Edge. Or like, we need something else that has, that starts with an E and is edgy. There's a room of people. I'm telling you, there's a room full of people. There's the people, and they're surrounded. They're all around a table, and there's a whiteboard, and there's somebody with a Sharpie, a very angry person with a Sharpie, and saying, "You guys, we need something. We need something that starts with an E because we already have the logo, and it needs to be edgy." And then they're all like yelling back and forth at each other, and they're like, "Eclectic," and they're like, "No, too many syllables." And they just keep going on and on. Like, there's just so much. And then somebody's just like, just annoyed, and it's like, just, where I was like, I feel like I'm falling off the edge here. And then the guy with the angry guy with the Sharpie is like, that's it. Edge. It's like, dude, you just said edgy like 600 minutes ago. God, you're so uncreative. And that's how they got edge.
But, you know, and beyond that, and I could definitely see that happening.
It did.
Or the idea of, like, you know, the cutting edge of whatever, which it wasn't. But the idea that Internet Explorer kind of got the short end of the stick over the years, where people were just like, they don't use it anymore. It was,
I used it
less and less and less. I mean, a lot, because, like, if you look at the numbers, and this has been happening to Mozilla as well, where I think I reported it last year, I think, where, like, just users are like just leaving in drones.
And I mean, Mozilla has issues though.
It does. It does. But the same thing happened to Internet Explorer, but just for a longer period of time. And I think that they were trying to get away from that name because they didn't want to have, you know, to be associated with something that wasn't working out anymore. So they're like, oh, let's make this, let's name it something different as opposed to an upgrade to Internet Explorer, because we don't want, like, people hear Internet Explorer, even if it's IE2, it's like, but it's Internet Explorer though. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah. Like, I don't think they're ever going to not say Windows with some type of number or some type of word after, because, you know, name association type of stuff. So I think they were trying to get away from it. But in doing so, you made Edge even more obscure than it could have been, because no one knows what the freak. I mean, I know what it is, but we don't know. No one really, really knows what Edge is outside of, oh, because really when they click on it, they're like, this is Internet Explorer. Oh, it's not as Edge. Okay. What is that? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it caused, I'm being honest, it caused so much mayhem at the office.
Yes.
It really, really did. I mean, I would be on the phone with people and they're, I'm like, okay, I need you to open, again, I'm not a tech person. I'm not IT person, but I was always doing IT stuff. And I'm on the phone with somebody and I'm like, hey, I need you to open, and this is real. I need you to open Edge or I need you to open Internet Explorer, one or the other, right? And then they open the other one. And I remember because, so this is actually what happens in a lot of corporations, especially in government organizations, you can't have new stuff. So if Windows 11 drops, government can't have it. You cannot get that new stuff. You have to, it has to be tested. It has to be all that thing. All those things have to happen. You're not allowed to spend taxpayer money on something that may not work or whatever, you know, so you have to do all this, all kinds of nonsense before you're able to get it. Like I think in 2013 and the government, we were using like the Office package from 2008 or 2009 or something like that.
Oh,
it was really old. We were using a really old, and then when we finally, and we got our upgrades, cause I think it was like 2008 when I got there and we got an upgrade and it was like, I don't know, whatever the release for 2011 was or something. Like they're very, very far behind. They're usually always like two systems behind. And so I remember being like talking to somebody at one of my other jobs and I was like, I need you to open Internet Explorer and they open Edge. And the thing is certain programs, certain things that are organic to the organization. Like you have your own technology that is in that organization. It does not work on Edge. Most everybody's stuff did not work on Edge. So if there's certain programs that needed to be run, like I think for a period of time, what's that other people that they're not Zoom, not Skype, the other one. There's a another one of those.
Google?
No. There's all those platforms. Like it was like Zoom, there's Skype. And there was another one. I forgot what it was that we used to use at work all the time. It does not work in Chrome. It had to work in Internet Explorer, but people were clicking on Edge. They're like, I'm in it. It's not working.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're not an Internet Explorer. He's like, yes, I am. I'm in the internet. I'm like, you're not an Internet Explorer. Well, what is this? I'm like, that's Microsoft Edge. Well, then why are you here?
Exactly. Because it's what you've known for however long. And you brought up a really good point because a lot of corporate, and not just corporate, but just like governmental stuff, mm-hmm. is done with older forms of tech because like you said, it's more secure over time. It's proven to be secure.
Yeah.
And which is one of the reasons why I hadn't been using Edge. I don't know if it's secure now or not, but I'm just saying in the beginning, I wasn't for that particular reason, but the government, you know, different governments are like that as well. Where it's like, you know what? Internet Explorer has been proven to be solid in these areas. Just keep it. And what happens is when you have these updates or they change these things, it can really, you know, it can really mess some stuff up. For instance, like there's a lot of nations like that use Internet Explorer for administrative stuff and they have no alternative. Well, I mean, I'm not saying they don't have an alternative just of yet is as opposed to it not existing. I'm meaning that they haven't found one that I guess works. And a lot of that also is based on like, if it isn't broke, don't fix it. Don't look even. So it could be one of those things, but you know, in the moment it's like, oh crap, we have to update all of our systems. We have to change everything around. Even like the intranets that you go to, there's like the fake internet on top of the internet.
Just your intranet work. In your system, in your intranet, in your, within your network, like within your corporation, you have an intranet.
Right.
And a lot of times that was on Internet Explorer. And if you tried to open that in like Chrome or something, it doesn't work. And so a lot of places for a very long time have relied on the technology that Internet Explorer provides, because when they came out with Edge did not sync with anything. It really didn't. It was so useless. Edge was literally so useless because you could not use it with your own corporation's platform. It's like, that's why I literally like, why is it here? Why is the rum gone? Like, I don't know why it's there. I know why it's there, but they don't. And that was very frustrating for lots of people. And so there's so many reasons why Edge gets a bad rap outside of it having those security issues and doing all that nonsensical stuff. But it literally just was so useless. It became so, nobody was using it. And then they had the nerve to make Bing. And then Bing, it's not a failure, but
It's I'll give Bing credit because it actually benefits from not being as widely known as Google. Mm-hmm. And the reason that is because everything on the internet in terms of search engine and SEO is basically mm-hmm. Google, like off the back of Google, right?
I know.
But the thing is with Bing is the fact that because it's a newer search engine that's very accurate, it doesn't have all the hangups that Google, because everyone's targeting Google to the point where you could type in cat and get like 1,000 things that aren't cats. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Whereas Bing was like, oh no, you got the cat. Like even the one you wanted, you even know, you know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, on the flip side, it's also a Microsoft thing that comes after the fact that's trying to do the thing that Google does. So it's like, people don't say search for something, they say Google.
Google is the verb.
Exactly. When you've gotten that big, you've won. Like there's no real, the competition is going to be very difficult. Like go YouTube something. Well, YouTube's a thing, you know, Kleenex, you know what I'm saying? Like people didn't know that's just tissue. Like,
right.
Or you're Xerox. The product.
Like Xerox. Exactly. It looks really copy, but you know, sure.
Exactly. Like you've gotten so big that your name has come, what was it, ubiquitous to whatever it is you're trying to do. I know big words, folks.
I don't. I'm brain damaged.
But yeah. Well, I mean, you used to know them. They still in there. You just got to, you know.
You know, Don Oliver just did something about Google the other day, and it was really interesting. I mean, not just interesting. It was really funny. But just like we're talking about, you know, Google, we know this because we were alive when Google was made and we were in high school.
Right.
And like Google was the fastest of all of them. Google didn't return the most accurate results at all. Because I was always in the school library looking up anime stuff with my friend. And I would be in there. We would meet each other during lunch period and we would go in there and we'd look for all the kind of stuff we could find. We needed to know more about Sailor Moon because like Sailor Moon had stopped on TV. And so we needed to find more info about what happens later. Like what's going on with the Sailor Stars? Why are these boys turning into women? Like we needed to know these. We need answers. So, you know, you can Google something. That's what we were doing. We were going into Google and it would return the best, the fastest results, but they were all kinds of like nonsense. We may have to search like 20 pages. That we also used. So back in the day, there was something called Dogpile.
Yep.
Okay. We used Dogpile. Yahoo had a search engine. Like, can you kids believe that?
Yeah, that was when Google was like you said, was rough. And so you would go back and forth between the two.
Yeah, we would go back and forth between all of them. There was like four. There were some other ones. Lycos. Don't forget Lycos.
Ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves. Yeah, there was Ask Jeeves. Now he's just a taskbar. Poor Jeeves. But, you know, there were other things. And then, you know, I think that even though Google wasn't accurate, the speed was important because sometimes, you know, if you went to like Lycos, you just didn't type something in and you're like, search for this. And then like the screen just had the little thing on it.
Yeah.
Dogpile, it was like fetch. Wasn't it like go fetch or something or whatever. There was like a dog digging or something like that or whatever. I can't believe I even remember that. I could have made it up. I don't know. But it's just that it was there, it existed. And then Google, because it was just so fast, you didn't have to wait. And I think they capitalized on that and became what they are. But no, I do actually like Bing because I like you get points if you use Bing.
Right.
You get like those coins and stuff or whatever that you can like trade for something in Microsoft. And if you use them for searching. And then I like the fact that when you open your computer, your Microsoft computer, like, it shows you a really pretty picture and then you can click on it and Bing will take you to the information. And I think that is a very good way to insert your product so that people inadvertently use it just by clicking on the picture.
Yeah.
But, you know, Microsoft is trying. I mean, they did get rid of Flash, right?
Yeah, I mean, to an extent, definitely.
Bye, Flash.
And just it's interesting just how everything changes based on these major companies and how they move because the internet kind of pivots towards them and sometimes in bad ways and sometimes in good ways and sometimes in bad and good ways because it's all consumer facing. when you get to the corporate level, that's when things kind of get messed up. When you get to the government level, things get messed up. But then like user, like just for the home user, that might be a little bit different, unless you're one of the people who tried to upgrade from like Windows 9 or whatever to 10 or to now 11. And the upgrades don't work. Even they say it's free because they're testing.
You're the beta guys.
Exactly. You're better off like getting a new system and putting that OS on it. Don't try to update from Windows 11. I'm sorry, from 10 to 11. Just don't. It has its own set of problems. And same thing with upgrading to 10. You want to, we're talking about like just IE and stuff not working. Your whole OS, nothing works properly. You're losing information. Yeah, fam. Let's not do that. But yeah, the next thing we wanted to talk about was Netflix and how they just, I don't understand Netflix sometimes. I understand this move, but I don't understand this move. Netflix announced that they're doing a Squid Game, but like in real life. For the people who don't know, Squid Game was a show that basically put a bunch of people together to play these games for a large amount of money. The problem was that the losers died like in horrible ways. And it spoke about so many different things. I spoke about it last year on a podcast and how I didn't necessarily think it was a good show. I wouldn't use that word. It was definitely interesting and a lot of well-written parts, and it's very, I don't know, shocking even to watch it at times, but I wouldn't say it was good. And especially with the ending, I didn't think we needed a second season. We're getting one. That was also announced. We're getting a second season. And yeah, it just took the world by storm for a while. Like that's all people talked about, similar to Bird Box, but this was actually worth watching. And so Netflix is like, we should do that. So they're coming out with a competition series called Squid Game The Challenge. It's going to be in the UK, and it's going to have the largest group of, or the largest cast in reality TV history, up to 456 players. And I understand these numbers. You have to watch the show to kind of understand these numbers, but it's going to have that many players, and then they're going to be trying to win $4.56 million. They're going to compete in a series of games similar that are inspired by the show. There's not going to be any death though. Like people just go home. And they're going to have different, you know, strategies, alliances. They're going to be team games, solo games, all this good stuff. And yeah, it's very interesting. I don't know how they crowdfunded this, if this is something that was like brought on, because it's going to be, the series is going to be co-produced by Studio Lambert and The Garden. And it's going to be filmed in the UK, and the, you know, Netflix is kind of, you know how Netflix does. Netflix has like, they have like a Netflix original, and then they have Netflix originals that aren't really Netflix's. They're like, we just bought it.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how this, you know, I don't know how this setup is going to work, but it seems real, you know, special considering that Netflix laid off a bunch of people and we're having money issues, talking about they're losing subscribers. And now you have a reality series coming where you're giving away. And I know it's giving away in the sense of like, I'm pretty sure there's going to be like some type of tax write-off. There's going to be, you know, there's something that allows them to recoup, because it's not going to be subscribers. At least I don't think. I don't think they're going to get a ton of subscribers just off of the fake Squid Game. When Squid Games 2 comes back, yeah, you're going to get a flood, but I don't know about this. Maybe, who knows? It might go viral. But I'm pretty sure they have something in play where they can recoup some of this money. They're going to sell merchandise. Mm-hmm. They're going to be, you know, I don't know. They're going to make money somehow outside of subscriptions. It's going to be a 10-episode series. And yeah, it's just like a weird thing to announce right now, considering what has been going on as of late with Netflix. I just don't think if you're, and mind you, Netflix isn't necessarily hurting for money. They are below, you know, when they talk to their, you know, investors or whatever, they're like below a certain amount that they want for the year. And they're no longer in the black like they were earlier. And in that sense, they had to cut a lot of things. They cut a lot of shows. They cut, you know, like, you know, popular series. They cut a lot of animation that was on the table was cut. They released a lot of people from the Netflix Tudum outlet. You know what I'm saying? So they did a lot of cutting. But we're going to do this big thing giving away a lot of money. Like, it just doesn't. It's just odd right now.
What they should do is have those employees that they fired participate in the show.
That's what I thought. Fam, that's what I said was going to happen. I was like, you guys got fired just to be put in this daggone show.
Mm-hmm. It's totally.
And the thing is, they it's like ironic in a way because they're missing the point of the show. Squid Games is not to be celebrated. This wasn't a good thing that they were doing to these people. They were making them. These were rich people that got together. And granted, they wanted to give the money away. Because there had to be some type of, in a sense of fairness for the game to work. If everything is rigged, it doesn't work for them. Right. And so they got together, essentially, all these big, you know, rich people, and for their entertainment, had people kill each other. That's essentially what it was. And the money that they put in the pile was like pocket change. So essentially, you're killing yourself over nothing. It's something for you, but it's nothing to these people who run the world type stuff. And so
actually why I liked Squid Game. So I actually ended up liking the show. Like, I know that there were a couple things that maybe I didn't like here and there or something like that. But I personally don't want a sequel. I don't want to see him getting revenge, and I don't want to see him trying to take down the Squid Game. I was actually just more interested in everything else, but I appreciated Squid Game because it was very, very, very in tune with the problems of society. Like, it was talking about capitalism, and it did a good job of that. I think it's unfortunate that most of us watching it don't know Korean, so it wasn't translated very, very well for us. There were so many nuances. There was like even the name of the main character, meant something, and the fact that he was laid off from his job, and there actually was an event in Korea where I think it was a car factory or something where a lot of people were laid off, and it was because of some sort. At the end of the day, it was basically like all these people were laid off so that the company could make more profit. Right. Squid Game was so good at showing you how messed up, how completely screwed our society has become, and how obviously people who are what the rich people consider the dregs of society, and who are desperate, or would be willing to sacrifice themselves to have some coins, and also to hurt others. How people would be willing to do a lot of things just to get. And I think that I like that. And I think that was very well put forward in the show. I mean, obviously I agree with you. I don't really care for a sequel. And I know that there is symbolism in the red hair, but I didn't like that. Yeah. And I was actually slightly disappointed with kind of like the way it ended. Like some of the stuff was a little predictable. Like I myself knew the old man wasn't dead. I myself knew the old man was a symbol. But so I was waiting to figure out where he was going to show up again. And you know me, because I always nitpick on little things, and I'm like, okay, I hear a gunshot, but we didn't see his body, and we've seen everybody else's body. I'm like that. I grew up watching soap operas, okay? If you didn't see that person buried, they are not dead. Yep. I had, feelings like good there. I actually appreciated what they were trying to do. And I know that the creator, the author, was working on that show for like 10 years and put a lot of effort into I think that especially a lot of people who are Korean and speak Korean, they actually really, really understand the message that was. And I think that was one of the things that's lost in translation and lost in culture translation. So, I just find this kind of ridiculous from Netflix. Like, Trevor Noah just did a segment on it. Like, everyone's talking about it. It was on the whole news cycle.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting that they are doing this in a way where what's being said is, why would you make a reality show about a game that was in a show to show us it was bad? Like, why would you do that? You're making a reality show. The game was real in the media it was presented. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was real in that media. You don't need to make a real version of the fake version that was real in its own world. You're supposed to make a reality version of something that exists. For example, it's Pride Month. They made a reality version of the L Word. Okay. The L Word was a show and they made a reality version of it. Okay. But it's like, but it wasn't a game. It wasn't a game where people died. I'm just saying
that's not something you're missing the point. The point. Like, and that kind of goes back to what you were saying in terms about like liking the fact that it was showing these messages, like this message about our society. And I think that undercuts my enjoyment of it because it does a good job of that to the point where it's hard for me to actually enjoy it. And that's part of the point. You're not supposed to enjoy it fully because in and of itself, and this is maybe me looking into or reading too much into it on my, you know, artist critique type shit, but like, it's like this is a bad thing that I'm showing you that's happening to these people. And it's for the entertainment of these rich people. And that whole drama is for our entertainment. So it's like we're a part of the Squid Game without even knowing it. Like it's a meta thing, right? And so, which is why I'll be like, I wouldn't necessarily say it's good, or maybe I shouldn't say it's not entertaining, but it is a good thing, like to have or whatever, right? And so, making a real, even though no one's dying, but making a real thing out of it is like you missed the point.
The point is that we don't want a real version.
Right. You're doing this for entertainment. And even though people aren't dying, you're thematically putting it alongside Squid Game. And it just looks nasty. It's nasty work. It's not what you should be doing. It really is, especially with what you just did. Like, you're really saying that people are just dollar bills to you, essentially. Yes.
And I'm so like, I am confused because, you know, there are so many game shows that you have where people's, you know, body is harmed, but, you know, they're typically okay. For example, Floor is Lava. Okay.
Oh my God, that show.
You know, that, and people fake die on that show. They fall into the lava and then the camera pans away to make you think that they're dead while you don't get to see them walk out of the lava because it's not that deep. Like, and then, you know, we've got, what's the show? Knockout. You know, like, people are doing things to their body. They are literally making fools of themselves for our entertainment by, you know, injuring or doing things that look painful. And they're doing it, you know, hopefully they can win. Floor is Lava, what's like $10,000 or something? I don't remember how much it was on Wipeout. Sorry, I said Knockout. Wipeout. I don't remember what
There's a knockout one too.
And you know, there's already, you know, things out there where people are doing these physical activities for our entertainment, and it's not based off of something that we're not supposed to participate in. You know what I mean? And so it's just kind of weird that it was like, okay, you know, that same group of people who was trying to come up with the word edge for Windows is the same group of people that was sitting in the room saying, you guys, we need something big. So why don't we just make a real Squid Game? Because, you know, after Squid Game came out, everybody at Netflix everyone who works at the top was literally saying to each other, let's make a real one. Let's make a real one. Hey, let's make a real one. Hey, so we're going to make a real one. And they've been saying it. And then when they looked at their money the other day, they looked at it and they're like, yeah, I think we're going to need to make a real one. And then they did. And I'm going to apply is all I have to say about that.
Yeah, that or the you know, again, going back to name recognition is like, we had an idea for a show. Let's just call it Squid Game. Let's totally forget like the point of the show and call it Squid Game, because people will hear Squid Game and they will come to see it thinking that it has something to do with the actual Squid Game show. But that's still not good. That's not a good thing. No. It's business. I get it, but it's not a good thing.
All I know is that the prize is $4.56 million. So I've literally texted everyone I know today and I'm like, so we're going to go, we're going to put an application. I have a brain injury. I can barely be around multiple people, but you know what? There's $4.6 million. I haven't been working because of my brain injury. I want $4.6 million. Okay. If I don't, if even if I lose, they still have to pay me for my time.
I don't know. Do they? I hope that's in the fine print.
Oh no, it's in the contract. Everybody gets paid to if you're on screen.
Oh, make sure that's in your
hire. Yeah, you. I mean, the people who don't win Survivor, they don't get the jackpot, but they still get paid for appearing on the show. Same thing with Big Brother. You get paid for appearing on the show.
Oh, that's what's up.
You don't win the jackpot, but you still have to be compensated for your time. You're basically an employee. I actually read some of that like info for people on reality shows. They have to compensate you for being there. Like these are people who like leave their jobs to then be in the show. Who's paying their bills?
That makes sense.
If they didn't get paid, then and these people were just like quitting their jobs and like ruining and not having any money or, you know, not paying bills or anything, that would actually only make people go on these shows if they had money. And then that would actually be classist because then, you know, people who are really struggling wouldn't be able to even do something like that. They wouldn't be being compensated.
That makes sense. Cause they also, cause I'm looking at the casting call and it's not, even though it's being filmed in the UK, they're doing casting from the US, the UK, and as well as global, which is, you know, everywhere else essentially.
Just speak English. That's it.
Right. And so they're essentially going to fly you out. I would hope they would fly you out and to actually be in on this show, which isn't just, I'm assuming because it's like a reality show that, you know, they're going to have people talking into the camera and, you know, telling them how things went, if they win or get further on, because they're not going to have all 456 people speak. That would be ridiculous. It's only 10 episodes, but I'm pretty sure like when they get down to the last five or something, like you're going to have in front of camera type stuff. You know, such and such, you know, Easy Homemaker or, you know, Susie Q from blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, what do you do before you got here type stuff? And so, you know, I would assume that, you know, based on what you're saying as well and where they're shooting that, yeah, all this is going to be done prior to it hitting the app, and you're going to have to make a go of it. You know, for a while. So you gotta get some type of compensation. I don't see it being too much, but yeah, that's a thing.
Maybe launch my reality career.
Maybe
that's all I care about.
Because a lot of people from the Road Rules and, you know, the Real World have gone off to have really good career. Shout out to The Miz, who is in the WWE doing amazing stuff. Shout out to him. But yeah, I just think it's weird. I'm probably going to check it out just because of like me being curious. I know I'm part of the problem, but
we're all part of the problem. You're going to watch it. I'm going to be on it. I'm pretty sure they're taking 456 people. What if 56 of those people are my people? That makes our chances better. And all I have to say is that I watched the Squid Game. Okay. We all watched this. But were we all watching and listening to the same show? They didn't have to die. These people, they were literally, it was like, they never told you that you had, that you guys played Squid Game when you were little. More than one person could win.
Yeah.
And yeah, so,
especially at the end. Yeah.
I'm just saying, not even with What's-His-Face killing What's-His-Face. No, the whole time there were every game was created in a way where no one actually had to die. Not one person needed to die.
Well, I don't know. The marble game? That seemed
the marble game. No one needed to die. All you needed to do was trade marbles. All you needed to do was trade the marbles. They never told you that it just said the person who has I forgot what did he say? Person who loses 10 marbles or something like that. And so right. they all created their own games. You literally could have just traded marbles. It was like whoever has 10 marbles in the end or something. I forgot what the rule was.
So each person had 10 and mm-hmm. then you had to get all the other person's marbles. If you got them all, then you're the declared right. the winner. But the problem with that was like exactly. they said because there's a time limit. Mm-hmm. And so if nobody was declared winner, then both of you died. I remember that part.
Right. But you would both be winners if all you had, if the game rules were simple, you must collect 10 of your partner's marbles. Trade marbles.
Oh, I see.
That's it. No one ever had to die in any, even the tug of war game, no one had to die. Even the tug of war game, no one had to die. They could have literally cut the, they're like, oh, wait. Okay, yeah, they win. Cut the rope. You actually didn't have to literally fall out, to fall over. There were so many. It's just that it's not that they were dumb. It's not that the individuals were dumb. It's just this kind of very vague, here are the rules. And then everybody in their own mind, because they came in believing and thinking that they were the dregs of society and meeting other people who clearly were the dregs of society, they're like, oh, this is a fight to the death. And no one really stepped back and thought about how the game was even played when they were young. No one really took a step back and was like, oh, we all can win. Because they said it in the beginning of the game. They never said only one person can win.
Well, no, but there are some games, though, that makes that kind of tough. Like the red light, green light, for instance. Like no one's playing against anyone mm-hmm, because yeah. any of them could have made it. But mm-hmm. if you didn't make it past the line before a certain time, you're getting shot.
Yeah, you're going to die. But it didn't mean that anybody had to turn against each other. There was actually no point.
Oh, yeah. That goes back to the point of the show being like what would you do for the money? Like it's mm-hmm. it's all intertwined. Basically, Netflix shouldn't do this.
Right.
they shouldn't do this.
They should not. But since they are, I'm going to apply everyone. And I don't really have the best fitness now because of my injury in this past year being me and the fact that I have to take, medication daily just to be normal, just to be able to have these podcasts, just to be able to move my jaw. I don't know how far I'm going to get when I'm on there, but, we're hoping.
I'm going to need you to bring a sub with you. Just be like, oh, yeah, no, I'm actually not going to be in it. I actually have a stand-in right here.
Yeah.
They're going to be in it. Yeah, mm-hmm. The Rock is going to be my stand-in. So my if champion. You could just move out the way so he can do what he does, that would be great.
That would be great. I'd be like, well, you can't discriminate against disabled people, so I'm definitely going to be there. And you guys need to make accommodation. So if this is like running up or climbing the rope, then you guys need to like, okay, well, you're going to need to like lower the rope and then just like pull it up because I need an accommodation, reasonable.
Goodness. Well, yeah, that is our show for tonight. Shout out to everybody who hung out with us and laughed and, smirked and nodded in agreement. I know you agreed with me. I know you did. you don't have to front. It's okay. It's just me and you here. It's just me and you. Mm-hmm. Definitely subscribe. If you're listening on YouTube, feel free to subscribe and hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new content coming out. If you're listening on iTunes or Google Podcasts or any of the other podcast places you can listen, add us to your RSS feed, subscribe, mm-hmm. So you can know what we're talking about from week to week. Definitely let us know in the comments below if you want us to talk about a certain show, certain book, whatever the case may be, and we will look into that and see if we can do it. If it's not on one of the apps I own, probably not. Mm. I don't know. Maybe. I juggle them, so, if it's something hot, like I haven't started watching the HBO, the Halo show on Paramount Plus, mainly because I had it for a whole year and for the most part didn't see much of anything I wanted to watch outside of Frasier. And so when Willow was coming out there. You said Drag Racing?
I said RuPaul's Drag Race is on there.
Oh, that is not for me. That's no shade to anybody who watches it, but yeah, that's not for me. I was looking for something along the lines of, and I'm not a big Star Trek fan, but if I was, that would be dope. I wanted to watch like a lot of the old Nickelodeon shows, like stuff like that was kind of like enticing. And then, and also what they made announcements for like a new Frasier show, like the Frasier cast was coming back. And so there's stuff that I was looking for that they actually hadn't brought in the entire year that they had the service. A bunch of shows that I was looking for, they didn't bring. And so I was like, you know what? I'm good. So then the Halo show gets announced that it's coming to there. And, you know, I was like, I want to get it, but I want to wait. At least have like another show or something. So once I'm done with Halo, I have a reason to keep watching. Mm-hmm. And yeah, for instance, remember I told you I got the full year of Apple TV.
Yes.
Thanks to T-Mobile. I only watched Severance, which was good, but I've only watched Severance. I need something else to watch on there. Because a lot of it is either something I can watch on other apps or I have no interest. So, yeah, there's a lot of content on these apps, but if it doesn't speak to you, it's kind of like meh, meh, meh. So,
yeah,
we'll see. But, yeah, let us know anyways, because if I don't watch it, maybe Tess will, mm-hmm. you know, or we've already watched it and you just kind of want to know our you know, our stance on it or whatever the case may be. You want us to talk about, you know, specific gaming stuff, whatever the case. Let us know and we'll consider it, you mm-hmm. know, but beyond yeah. that, I think that's it. That's it for me.
Yeah. Honestly, everybody, just do what I always say, which is, be kind, wash your hands, wash your faces, wash your butts in whatever order you choose, honestly, because I can't.
Oh
stop
God.
No.
I'm going to need you to get that the right order. I'm
gonna
need you to,
please get it in the right order, people. Wash your hands, wash your face, wash your butts. Okay?
Yes.
And I need you guys to wear masks because COVID is on the rise again. There's a new Omicron. There's like a variant of a variant. So I'm going to need you guys to do that. Also, monkeypox is spreading. And so I'm going to need you guys to really wear your masks because like a whole bunch of people have monkeypox now. Which is getting a new name, apparently. The CD, the WHO is going to rename it because they think it's causing bad things. And it's being racist. So,
Yeah.
I mean, we know. We know this and we see this and it's like, wow, because monkeypox doesn't even come from a monkey.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
Other little animals, like rats and stuff. And anyway. So please do that. Be kind. Take care of yourselves. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.